Good afternoon, the March 19th, Thursday, March 19th afternoon session of the Portland City Council will come to order. Council Clerk Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Leonard? Saltzman? Adams?
Here. Carla, will you please read the title for council calendar, the first council calendar item?
Item 291, implementation of Portland Housing Bureau and consolidation of economic development functions at the Portland Development Commission.
And why don't you go ahead and read the second one as well?
Okay. 292, accept report to City Council on Bureau of Planning and Sustainability.
All right. This afternoon, we will hear two of four reports from the reorganizations this council officially launched on January 7th. Today's reports on the creation of the Portland Housing Bureau and consolidating the City of Portland's community economic development functions within PDC, and the consolidations of the Bureau of Planning and the Office of Sustainability. We're going to hear those updates today, followed by a report on the reorganizations of the city's permitting functions on April 1st, and the forthcoming report from Commissioner Fritz on the creation of the Office of Healthy and Working Rivers. As council will recall, we directed staff to report back within 45 working days with a transition plan and an initial implementation timeline for the reorganization. And I'm happy to say that staff has been able to meet and exceed these expectations. As we said when we announced this change, Portland's housing programs enjoy a national reputation for innovation and excellence, but we know we can do better. And for some time, community leaders have asked for a fundamental reform of the fragmented housing system. Great people working on these tasks, but a system that needed improvement. Commissioner Fish has pledged to bring about this change and is well along his way to doing so. By aligning the city's housing policy, development, and finance into a new Bureau of Housing, and with Commissioner Fish's leadership, we are creating sustainable capacity to end homelessness and provide housing opportunity for all Portland residents. Similarly, the transfer of the nationally recognized Economic Opportunity Initiative into the Portland Development Commission will align the city's community economic development work within a single agency whose mission is to strengthen Portland and Portlanders' economic opportunity. I'd like to acknowledge the work and cooperation of everyone at the Bureau of Housing and Community Development, the Portland Development Commission, the Office of Management and Finance, the City Attorney's Office, Commissioner Fish's Office, my team, including Kimberly Schneider and Warren Jimenez, and commend them for making a lot of progress. I'd also like to thank the staff that has been involved with this in what is a very difficult but necessary effort to improve services for the city. There are lots of people to mention, but we're going to hear from two very key ones. And Warren is filling in for Kimberly Schneider, who's homesick today, Casey Short and the OMF team, Kate and the entire team with Commissioner Fish's office, and Warren's going to deliver remarks on behalf of our efforts on community development. So who's starting? Casey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. We're going to make this presentation in three parts and be as brief as we can. The particulars are, of course, included in the written report, which is part of your packet. I know council has been quite busy this week and has more items on the agenda today, so we're going to try and keep it succinct. I'm just going to give a very brief overview on some of the common things. Kate Allen will speak to the particulars of the PDC Housing Department merger or consolidation with BHCD, which will become the new Portland Housing Bureau, and Warren's going to speak to the economic opportunity and economic development programs. Very briefly, the timeline for putting these changes into place is to get them effective on the 1st of July with the start of the new fiscal year. That means getting a new budget in place. We have been working diligently on pulling that together, taking all the disparate parts of and the different issues involved in this, trying to get them resolved so we can put a budget together in time for the mayor to consider that proposal in the context of his preparing his proposed budget. And then that will, of course, be reviewed by council and a budget approved in May, and then the budget itself will go into effect after you adopt it, go into effect on the 1st of July. The mechanism for doing all of these things has been discussed quite a bit. It's been determined and recommended by legal staff that we conclude a series of intergovernmental agreements between the city and the Development Commission, four actually, one each on each of the transfers from Housing Department PDC to the Housing Bureau, the functions and the finances and those sorts of things, and similarly the economic opportunity to PDC, and then a separate one dealing with the transfer of employees each way, PDC to the city, city to PDC. Much of the rest of the report will be centered on each of the individual components, so I'm going to turn it over to Kate to talk about the Portland Housing Bureau.
Thanks. Good afternoon, commissioners and mayor. Nice to be here today. I'm Kate Allen. I'm the housing policy manager for the City of Portland in Commissioner Fish's office. I'm pleased to report on the Portland Housing Bureau part of this reorganization that we are on time, on track with what we've referred to as phase one. Phase one being a lot of the issue identification and the mechanics of what does it take to take programs, budgets, and a considerable staff component from both PDC and BHCD and form them into a new housing bureau, the Portland Housing Bureau. The report that we submitted and is in your packets covers the status of a range of issues that we've been working on in staff teams. I think we will have an opportunity to acknowledge, and Commissioner Fish will do so, the work, the folks who have been working on this. And so my report represents the work of some very dedicated people who are also doing this job on top of other very important jobs of work that they do for the city. So the report covers issue areas including the transfer of 38 PDC-identified housing staff and a determination of how the support functions that will be necessary to operate the Portland Housing Bureau will be secured. We can talk a little bit more about that if we want to. How the program funding for will proceed through the city budget process, which you've actually heard a fair bit about housing issues over the last couple of weeks in the budget reports, and how those will be funded. Finalized in the mayor's budget. We've reported on a host of the mechanics, such as securing office space for the Portland Housing Bureau and assuring that IT systems are operational on day one when we all move in together, and a set of leadership and organizational development planning that we're really set to undertake imminently as phase two of the project, and a description of communications, both those that have taken place to date and our communications and stakeholder engagement processes going forward from here. And the report covers a preliminary timeline, a sort of high order, the way we've been proceeding at this point. As you can see, it's a very complicated effort involving intergovernmental transfer of employees and programs, assignment of employee classifications in both jurisdictions, matters of union representation, ensuring compliance with bond covenants and federal grants, laws governing employees involved in the transfer, laws restricting use of tax increment funds, integration of software, investigation and identification of office space, accounting and budget structure, and these are just the technical components. Status of these issues is obviously covered in more detail in the report, and we're happy and wanting to save time to answer some questions that may come from council. Wanted to touch briefly on next steps, and over the next 90 days, phase two, which arguably is the more exciting aspects of taking this good work forward, really looking at finalizing the details of the Portland Housing Bureau funding structure through the budget process, finalizing the determination of staff positions to transfer to the city, and which of those positions may be supported both inside the Portland Housing Bureau and by other existing city bureau capacity. With Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fish and the PDC leadership, work through the concerns expressed by organized labor. With PDC and BHCD staff, carefully map the work processes to assure that we experience continued and improved productivity, even in the early stages of the Portland Housing Bureau. Use the general timeline that's included in the report to further develop a critical path for transfer tasks and staff impacts. We are imminently contracting with a consultant, with RFP responses actually coming in tomorrow, who will work with Commissioner Fish and the Portland Housing Bureau staff and stakeholders, community, and jurisdictional, to develop the vision, mission, guiding principles, and performance metrics for the Portland Housing Bureau and recommend and help structure an initial bureau structure and implementation plan. And finally, implementation of a communications plan that has been developed by the communications subcommittee, a group of staff working with OMF communications staff. That's sort of captures briefly phase two of the project, which we expect to proceed over the next roughly 90 days between now and June 30th. We would describe phase three of the project as really managing the migration of all of the systems to the Portland Housing Bureau, the physical move of staff, and ongoing organizational and development and transition supports. That proceeds over the summer. And I think we would characterize phase four as closing out the calendar year as the Portland Housing Bureau settles into its routines, engages community stakeholders in policy planning, and develops its 10-11 budget. At this point, I'll turn this report over to Warren, who's sitting in with Kimberly.
Well, it's a pleasure being here this afternoon. Good afternoon. I am Warren Jimenez, Deputy Chief of Staff for the Mayor. And I'm sorry Kimberly couldn't be here this afternoon. She's homesick, but she's been doing a lot of work out in front of this effort from our perspective, from our office. Just a couple of quick thank yous. First, to Lynn at BHCD through this process. She's been critical in helping move forward the economic opportunity transfer over to PDC. Also, Byron at PDC, and of course, Casey. Casey thought that he's going to ride off into the sunset of retiring. He did not know that we had other important work for him to continue forward and on, so we appreciate Casey's effort around this. I'm pleased to announce that and to report that the process of transferring the Economic Opportunity Initiative from BHCD to PDC is one time and on track. While we have addressed transferring the economic opportunity through a parallel process, which has involved, of course, the city and PDC staff groups to determine the staff transfers, solve a host of mechanics and address programs, operations, and funding, this process has been less complex than the creation of the new Housing Bureau. We do not anticipate any major issues in this transfer. As the report makes clear, the four staff in the BHCD's Economic Opportunity Program and the programs and resources they administer will be transferred to PDC effective July 1st. Following the transfer, PDC will work with stakeholders and partners to develop a more integrated and comprehensive approach to the Community Economic Development Department within the agency. This will involve a strategic planning process that will both be involved and help further the integration of the Economic Opportunity Program and staff within PDC. So I'm pleased to, again, step in for Kimberly this afternoon and pleased to report that progress.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to add my thanks to a number of people at this point. Casey. I think when you were called back on this assignment, we were told this would be a simple,
I knew better.
Pardon me?
I knew better.
Yeah. Thanks for your good work. And thanks to the whole OMF team. And in fact, you know, in the last 2 weeks of our budget cycle, we've seen, you know, really the best of the OMF team culminating in this report. To the city attorney staff led by Linda Mang, I want to thank them for their good work. City Bureau of Human Resources, led by Anna Canwit. PDC Attorney David Elliott and CFO Julie Cody. Thanks for all your great work. I want to give special acknowledgement of the contributions of BHCD and PDC management and staff who have contributed significant effort in addition to maintaining productivity and finding ways to work toward this new housing bureau. At PDC, that includes Comey Colivar, Shelley Hack, and staff representative John Marshall and Sean Ullman. And at BHCD, Andy Miller, Alyssa Brumfield, Beth Kay, and staff representative Latimia Clayton. And to Kimberly, who is probably home watching this on TV, get well soon. Apparently whatever Saltzman has, he gave her. And Kate Allen, thank you for your terrific work. Now, during this complex series of discussions and negotiations, I also, Mayor and members of the Council, want to acknowledge that the staff have taken seriously the charge to keep the trains running and have an impressive list of accomplishments that evidence the need, especially in these challenging times, to continue and even improve productivity. And I have a four-page document of key accomplishments. I just want to hit on a few because I think it's important that you see that the trains are running and we are getting the work done while we're also going through a very complex negotiation. On the stimulus package, staff are actively working and collaborating with stakeholder committees to develop strategies to pursue and implement the stimulus funds. We have worked on a consortium with Multnomah County to administer the $3.6 million in funds from the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. Recently learned that we had been awarded an additional $370,000 earmarked to support the development of homeless veterans housing in South Waterfront, which to any veteran who might be watching this program, I promise you that this will be built. We will overcome and get this thing done. We've collaborated with partners to bring over $1 million in MacArthur Foundation funds to Oregon to help preserve affordable housing against market threats. We've represented the city on the Housing Alliance, which successfully lobbied the state legislature for the first dedicated fund for affordable housing in a generation. We've developed and let three RFPs to allocate over $7 million to meet urgent community needs, including foreclosure prevention services, affordable housing development, and housing for people with HIV and AIDS. And we collaboratively developed the annual TIF 30% set-aside report that was, as I mentioned the other day, presented to stakeholders in a meeting co-chaired by me and Chair Wilhoit. We've also been developing housing to meet community needs in this tough economy. And as we all know from talking to private developers and looking at the skyline of Portland, there's very little development right now because of the frozen markets. However, we've been working with key partners to move projects along. That includes the Clifford, where we've worked together to close the funding gap on homeless housing in inner southeast in close collaboration with Multnomah County. The Resource Access Center, where both this body and the PDC board have given us the green light. We have a shovel-ready project, whether it's stimulus, TIF, or some other money that the mayor and I find, we will build this project. Clay Towers, working with lenders and developers to clear financing hurdles on critical housing preservation product in South Park blocks, and on and on. And in addition, we have been working collaboratively to maintain the social safety net, working as incident commanders during the winter emergency, responding to the urgent needs of homeless people during the Arctic blast in December. The lead hazard control grant surpassed its grant production obligations by 20%, making an additional 320 units in Portland safe. We've implemented collaboratively the key recommendations of the Quality Rental Housing Work Group and are now charged with finding some additional funds to make that a reality. We have been together providing leadership on a plan to implement a foreclosure prevention event for May 2nd, 2009 at Memorial Coliseum with a number of partners. And we worked on a street count of homeless individuals in the city and county with results to be published soon. That is a selective presentation of core initiatives and projects which are moving forward despite all the challenges of this economy, the urgent needs in our community and the process that is moving forward with this development of a new Portland Housing Bureau. I would be remiss if I did not also acknowledge the constructive role played by all of our labor partners and the commitment that the city has made to sit down and negotiate in good faith over all of the legal issues that we are required to bargain over. Now, let me step back for a second and just give another context for what we're doing here. If this was an easy task, this would have been done 10 years ago. If the hard work of government was easy, we wouldn't have these robust debates. And the reality is that it has taken close to 15 years to get to this point. And it is not because of any active opposition. It's because this is really complicated. And really complicated things put us to our test. And along the way, we encounter resistance. Now, we have a choice. We can take the easy way out and say that things can't change, can't improve, or we can take some heat from time to time and try to do the right thing. I ran on a platform of bringing fundamental change to our housing delivery system. And I did so because I grew weary over the years of hearing from each and every one of our community partners who said the current system needs to be enhanced. Some people have used the term, it's broken. I chafed at that because Portland has achieved a lot. And I think we make a mistake when we say things are broken. We demean the accomplishments that have occurred under difficult times. It's also turned out to be a bad strategy with the voters. When we say to the voters, our school system is broken, that we need more money, that's not the most compelling ask. So instead of saying it's broken, what we say is it is susceptible to great enhancement. It can be improved. We know we can deliver a better product. And why does that matter? Look, I know what works in our system, and one of the things that works is that we have brilliant, compassionate, dedicated people in every level of this enterprise doing great work. From the folks who work for the city in represented and non-represented classifications to our community partners. I know that's not the problem. The problem is we have too many cooks in the kitchen, too many conflicting agendas, not enough focus, too little efficiency, and at the end of the day, we're not delivering as good a product as we can. And so why does that matter? Does it matter because I or the mayor or anyone else here wants our name on some plaque someday? No. It matters because we serve the most vulnerable people in our community. And if we can deliver a better service, more people are going to be benefited from what we offer and more lives are going to be transformed. That is, I think, the reason all of us came into this work. And it better be something larger than self, because this is not easy work. In fact, Randy and I were talking the other day about this being some of the hardest work either of us have ever experienced with all the different layers of the challenges this city faces. We do this because we have a vision, and the vision is to serve people at the highest possible level. We have a lot to be proud of in our service delivery around housing. I believe, and the mayor believes passionately, and you believe, that we can do better. And through this merger and the creation of a new powerhouse bureau, we think we can provide even more to our community. President Obama has said at every juncture when asked about the challenges we face, he has said, yes, but I want to focus on the opportunities they present. And one of the opportunities we face today is to rethink everything. And just by way of an example, the Resource Access Center today, half block, urban form building, concrete base, with another half block available for development for some other purpose, with the savings of $3 million, is a better project because we had to rethink it. We had to rethink it. And we had to rethink it because of the collapse of the markets, and we couldn't get the same return on our tax credits. Now, in Portland, we don't say when that happens, we're going to fold up our tent and go away. We say, let's go back to the drawing board and do it better and smarter and more cost-effective. But let me also say that as we rethink everything, let's be clear what we're trying to accomplish here and what we're not trying to accomplish here. By rethinking the current system, we think we can do it better. But we have never said to anybody that we will save money in the short term. In fact, a number of us had a little bit of a colloquy the other day with the police chief because there was this notion that in going from 5 precincts to 3, it could be done on the cheap. And the budget was $100,000 to move a couple hundred officers around and do all this, and I think we were told that prison labor would be used to do the moves to save extra money. Well, I think there was some pushback on that, and we said, you know what, this could actually cost $1.5 million. It could cost a lot more. Let's not lowball those amounts. Let's be candid with people about the cost. We have never said in the short term this will save money. That's not what's driving this. We have said in the short term this will be enormously difficult and tax us like no other restructure. In the long term, we think we will spend limited tax dollars more wisely, more strategically, more effectively. That's where we want to be judged. So today, it's the next chapter of responding to our community partners who for years have said, we demand change. And I want to say and compliment the mayor, who has only so much political capital that he can use at one time, for including this restructure as one of his core priorities. By aligning our policy, our housing policy, implementation, and finance in the new Portland Housing Bureau, we will develop and implement a comprehensive housing policy with revitalized community input. We will streamline a fragmented funding system. We will develop and implement streamlined reporting and results metrics, which is another way of saying we will be more accountable. We will align project funding with policy priorities and streamline project approval processes. And we will enhance and improve our ability to better serve the housing needs of more homeless citizens, more low-income Portlanders, more first-time homeowners. We will be creating more housing opportunities for families in our inner core and our neighborhoods. This is the reason that we have presented this opportunity to the council. And today, we ask your support as we go down the path towards a successful conclusion of this process. Thank you.
Well said. Very well said. Initial questions or comments from the council. How many people have signed up, or how many folks are here to testify?
3 so far.
Okay. Would council like to wait for discussion until we hear from the 3 testifiers?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I might have another sign-up sheet out there also, but the first 3 are Ken Allen, Carl Dinkelspiel, and John Marshall.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Our rules are very simple. You just have to give us your first and last name, and you have 3 minutes, and probably one of us will ask a question, and you might go longer than 3 minutes in answering that.
Thank you. My friend, the Honorable Mayor, and distinguished councilors, my name is Ken Allen. I'm the director of AFSCME Council 75 with 25,000 members in Oregon, and as you know, I don't appear often in front of your body. We are the largest union in the Portland metro area, and we come before you on this issue in not just a labor relations sense, but as the largest union, we're concerned about housing issues in the city. We don't want the city to be a city where only rich and poor can afford to live, that we want our members to be able to live in this city. So housing is important to us. We're also the housing union. We represent Housing Authority of Portland, Central City Concern, Transition Projects, Portland Development Commission, City of Portland workers, Multnomah County, and Metro, all of you with pieces of this housing issue that you're concerned about. So we look at housing issues in a big way. I want to thank Commissioner Fish and the mayor for the opportunity for our union and our members to make some comments on the process. I want to begin by reminding you that we just started a relationship with Portland Development Commission a couple years ago. And in my 35 years of organizing and bargaining, I have never met a smarter and more committed group of employees. This is a really top-notch group of workers. And we went through a lengthy process for that first contract. And to quote the director of the organization, the agency is healthier for us having organized the union and gotten to a first contract. And I'm very, very proud of that. That's not often said about especially a first contract. Last week, I had the opportunity to meet with a group of the employees at PDC that actually do the work in the housing department and hear their concerns about this process. And if I were sitting where you are, I would want the benefit to hear their perspective. Their ability to understand the issues and to deal with the complexity of this undertaking is outstanding. This fact really shouldn't be a surprise to any of us here because, after all, these are the people who work on some of the most complicated financial deals within the city. And with that said, I want to turn it over to John Marshall and Carl Dinkelspiel for their comments, and then I will make some final remarks.
Thank you, Ken. I'll try to do this quickly so I can get it within the 3 minutes.
Oh, take your time. This is important.
Thank you. I'll take you up on that.
I was wondering if we could just consider this a panel.
Yeah, we'll treat this as a panel.
Without doing the time. And
okay.
Take as long as you want.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Settle in, folks. It could be a while.
My name is John Marshall. I'm a native Oregonian. I currently live in the Gateway Urban Renewal Area. I have worked as a commercial underwriter at PDC in the housing department for more than 9 years. And I'm also on the core team assisting Commissioner Fish implement the merger of PDC and BHCD. My parents' home was washed away in the flood of Vanport in 1948. My community and family suffered from urban renewal and transportation developments when planning did not consider the consequences of projects that tore apart a stable Black community and negatively impacted the families that my father served as one of the first African-American doctors in Portland. This occurred when the Memorial Coliseum in the late 50s was built, the Minnesota I-5 freeway in the 60s, the Emanuel Hospital expansion in the 70s. The last development removed much of the remaining Black businesses near my father's medical office on Williams Avenue. I joined PDC to make urban renewal better and to serve all of the people of Portland. I am speaking for fellow PDCers who love this city and work hard to make the lives of citizens in Portland better. One feature that makes Portland greater than almost any other city in America is the outstanding quality of its housing stock. Portland does not have vast areas of the city with dilapidated housing. It wasn't always that way. Two key factors were PDC's home repair and urban homestead programs that funded tens of thousands of home repair and home ownership loans over 50 years. PDC Housing is passionate about its good work for the city. That includes assisting projects that help neighborhoods, like the Belmont Dairy in Southeast Portland, like the Rosemont Commons in North Portland, which won a national award. Housing also assists mixed-use projects that stimulate the economy. The Crane Rehab preserved a building on the National Historic Register, retained jobs that would have left the city, created new jobs and new workforce housing, leveraged the city's funds 19-1, and won an Urban Land Institute Award last year. This was done by the housing department. We work with BHCD on programs to prevent foreclosures, request for proposals for new funding, and assist the city's current focus on housing the chronically homeless. It should be noted that the city's policies have varied over time, and that's the current focus. PDCers are chomping at the bit to work collaboratively to make the housing delivery system that is doing good work better serve the people that elected you. We know the citizens of Portland expect strong stewardship of city resources, much of it funded by property taxes, their property taxes. These citizens need uninterrupted service, particularly in the current weakened economy. This economy is impacting people like my coworkers and creating housing needs that are different from those when the discussions about merging BHCD, PDC, the Housing Authority of Portland, and county social services occurred to serve and house the chronically homeless. Today's times are different. Staff at PDC emphasize that this merger should be done right, should avoid unintended consequences, should be fiscally responsible, both at startup and operationally. We share in the desire to create a nimble and responsive bureau that serves Portland now and in the future. Sitting beside me is Carl Dinkelspiel, and he will speak to a few issues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me. I want to my name is Carl Dinkelspiel, as you heard. I want to thank all the folks that I know about that are working on this. This is obviously Commissioner Fish is leading the effort, but also Kate Allen and Andy Miller, Comey Calabar and Shelley Hack, Julie Cody, and the legal departments at both the city here and PDC, and I really appreciate their work on this. I'm a senior project manager in the housing department at PDC, and my work focuses on housing development, which means I work with developers negotiating deals, buying and selling property, and working with community stakeholders. So I know you've heard a lot about PDC in the last couple days, so I'm going to get straight to the point. First and foremost, I think you've heard a little bit about our message, which is that we want to work collaboratively with you, and we want to make sure that we get this right. It's really important to us. So about collaboration, you've heard that there's a great deal of expertise both at PDC and you know there is at BHCD. So far, our housing staff has not been involved in any meaningful way in the discussions and decisions that have been taking place so far. We can provide you with a huge amount of help as you look to find the best ways to accomplish your goals. We are the feet on the street. We know what's happening, and we know how the programs and the services we provide work. So we want to be involved, and we want to work with you. The second thing I want to say is about our desire to see this done right. The report that you guys have from Casey and others covers some very important issues, but they are relatively narrowly focused on, as you heard, technical and mechanical issues. So for us, doing this right means examining the goals you're trying to achieve, the organizational structure you're creating, the management that will run the agency, and perhaps most importantly, the problems that are being solved for. So far, none of these has been clearly articulated. To do this right, this needs to happen sooner rather than later. At the moment, the cart is before the horse. I want to raise three other issues. The first is cost. I know that Commissioner Fish touched on this a bit, but I just want to point out a couple things that are in your report. First, that there's a total called out in that report of $625,000 from this year's current FY budget and also in FY 09-10 budgets. Mentioned in the report, but with no cost attached, is the technology transition, which I think is a pretty formidable task. Not mentioned, but clearly a cost will be the probably hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of staff time and overhead involved in making the move and the reorg happen. It seems from this that the cost, the short-term cost, would be $1 million, perhaps twice that, maybe even more. And that, again, that's just the short-term cost. There are long-term costs as well. The long-term costs associated with overhead and, frankly, the potential duplication of services between a new housing development bureau and a PDC that also does development work. So the question is this the right time? And more importantly, is this the right way to spend this kind of money? The next question I want to bring up is that of Portland of Portland's Urban Renewal Agency, where I currently work. While there are definitely problems at PDC, the agency is very effective, as can be seen by looking pretty much anywhere in this city. PDC's effectiveness comes in part from the three-legged stool approach, which you all know about, which is development, jobs, and housing as an integral set of sort of three things that we do. And I think the big question is, what happens to PDC? What happens to your urban renewal agency once one of those very crucial legs is removed? And then lastly, I think Commissioner Fish started to touch on this, which is the idea of effectiveness. We agree that the housing delivery system can be enhanced, But the question is, what is the best way to address that enhancement? And this is, again, something that we very much want to work with you on. So in closing, I'd like to make three requests of you. The first is that you genuinely collaborate with us as professionals, both at PDC and BHCD, in as many levels of what you're doing as possible, and as early as possible, preferably now. And secondly, is that you keep in the forefront of your mind and your actions that this process should examine alternatives that lead to the best, most effective, and least costly solution to the problems at hand. And then lastly, that the process switches from one that focuses on the technical and mechanical to one that starts with a clearly articulated vision for a better housing production and delivery system for the people of Portland. Thank you.
As most of you know, I serve as a Port of Portland commissioner and was previously on the SAFE board. And in terms of this report, as a board member of other large organizations, I would want to see more information than what's presented here. I recognize the enormous undertaking it is for staff to produce a report in 45 days, but after talking with the employees, I think there is some critical information that is missing. As a board member, I would want the benefit of staff input. The report ignores the 24 months that PDC employees worked hard to establish a union contract with PDC and the relationship building there. The timeline of the transfer would significantly penalize these employees. The second issue with the report provides some confusing information regarding the issue of union representation. Prior to this idea coming, starting a report being put together, we were told by some of you that we would represent the employees coming from PDC to the City of Portland. That commitment is not being kept. This process thus far isn't consistent with the labor management philosophy that both AFSCME and the city bureaus have worked hard to implement, and the positive relationship we have had with the city and have with PDC. Thus far, it's been a top-down approach which has ignored the actual employees' concerns. I would ask that as we move forward, that the concerns of the employees be actively solicited regarding the readiness for the new Housing Bureau to do business. Very simply, the train needs to slow down to get us on board. First, let's examine whether this, in fact, is a good idea, and then if you decide it is, let's move forward on this transition as partners and allies rather than having to strike an adversarial approach. Commissioner Fish, the task will only be done well if we do it together. And I speak for the employees that actually do the work. They're the ones with the expertise about how this work is done and how it can be improved, and you want to tap that expertise no matter where they end up. This is about the best results for the citizens. I want to assure you that this in no way is some kind of a turf war between two AFSCME locals. Both locals are here together today to support this. We work very closely together. We are in support of delivering the best housing program to the citizens of this city, and we're in support of all of our members at all of these agencies being able to put together the best plan. So that's why we're here today. If there's any specific questions you have of us today or in the future, we're more than willing to address those. Thank you.
I would have, you have some?
I'll defer to you.
So I'm listening very carefully and trying to make sure I understand what the concerns are. So I heard both a request and the top three concerns outlined, and then, Ken, and what you said, that there's a sense that there isn't an effective collaboration occurring. Now, my understanding was there were work groups.
There was a work group which Mr. Marshall sat on, but it really hasn't gotten down. It's dealt with more the technical issues and not the issues that Carl raised about how we put this future bureau together in the best way. What are the goals? What's the mission? How do we want to organize that?
I could speak a little bit to that. There are separate tracks that are occurring, and the employees' participation in the key tracks to date have been pretty minimal. That's my point.
But in listening to Commissioner Fish's opening remarks, I mean, I was struck by the clarity and the focus on what it was he and Mayor Adams are trying to achieve. So I understand if you have a quarrel with that, that's
we respect that. I respect that. I mean, if you don't agree with the goals that they've articulated, but I'm trying to understand better what about the vision that he articulated in his opening remarks doesn't capture for you the goal, which is to bring all the resources that are devoted to housing that are now disparate into a unified central bureau that would then focus all its energy more collaboratively on addressing the needs of the folks in the community we're trying to help. I mean, that was clear to me in listening to his remarks. What about that doesn't provide you the vision that you're saying needs to happen?
Mr. Leder, that's a good question. The report doesn't say all of housing, and that's one of the questions. Is it all of housing activities, or is it a narrower focus?
And so you're saying that in the smaller meetings, Mr. Marshall, that you're having on the technical aspects, you can't ask that question, or you haven't, or it won't be answered, or what's the concern?
It won't be answered until after the merger occurs, because there is a third-party consultant that's going to determine the mission, goals, values, and the implementation of the system. That report won't be finished until the fall of this year. The merger will have already occurred sometime on paper, July 1st, and the staff will actually have moved, according to the timeline, in July. So the mission and structure will be determined after the employees are over there.
But let me follow up on that. I appreciate that because I wasn't aware of that. So is there a trust issue there that you don't think there will be follow through to make sure that the missions and the goals of the new bureau, notwithstanding that the staff already moved?
Well, let me address that issue, the trust issue, because we were told we would represent these employees when they came over, and now we're being told that that's not necessarily true. Now, when the employees think that they can come...
Versus another bargaining unit, or they'd be non-rep?
One or the other, maybe. It could be, some could go to COPIA, some could go to non-rep. These are folks that organize a PDC with us. We worked for a long time on putting their first contract together. And I think that they would have a more of a comfort level knowing that when they got here, they still had union representation to look at the whole issues of the transfer, the wages going forward, the classifications, the kind of work they're going to do. That's not being addressed in this report. We haven't had a chance to sit down and bargain over the decision to make the transfer or the impact. And I know you know that.
Yes.
We worked on those laws together in the past.
So are you identifying an issue in terms of the representation, which I get, and I understand why you would have that concern. Is that something you've identified in this process that is being addressed or looked at, or are you saying that you've identified that and are not satisfied with the progress?
Well, we've only recently been told that the commitments that were made to us aren't going to be kept, that we would represent the employees when they got here. And that makes it, had we been told that 4 or 5 months ago, we might have had a different strategy or tack on this whole thing.
So if that issue is straightened out, are there other issues beyond that?
There's operational issues employees want to be able to address in terms
specifically
of...
Specifically, what is that?
Yeah, I guess I'd like to address your question about the vision that Commissioner Fish has laid out. And I think we can certainly agree that we want to provide the best housing delivery and services system in the city. I think we all agree on that. That's something we want to work together on. But I think there are a lot of subsets of that, if you will. How do you create a structure that actually delivers that? There are certainly issues that need to be addressed. What are those specifically, and what has already been tried in order to address those kinds of issues? So, for example, one of the areas of tension traditionally between PDC and other aspects of housing delivery in Portland has been around the service delivery, that is, social service delivery inside. Essentially city-owned housing or city-supported housing. And that has been a very nettlesome issue. PDC does obviously very good real estate development, and there are other entities that provide the services in those housing units. That has always been a very difficult issue, but whether or not that needs to How that issue can be addressed, to me, is sort of a crucial thing that we need to spend some time talking about, and not necessarily outlining a vision of saying we want to have sort of the most efficient housing system that there can be. Doesn't really get at that necessarily. It might not, but we want to have that conversation.
Okay. And let me just jump in on the question of communication, because I spent 20 years in the labor movement before this job. I'm still torn in my mind.
I'm all aware of that.
I'm still torn in my mind which was the better job. But the question of communication is fundamental. Now, you know, we're now in a public forum, and my preference would have been to have a private conversation with you, but we don't have that luxury. We're in a public forum, and we're trying to work these things out. The first time that any of these concerns were brought to my attention was when I got a call from the Oregonian editorial board last night at a track meet, when I was watching my daughter play, run in a track meet. And the writer who was working on a piece asked me a series of questions about this merger and concerns that had been raised by people you represent at PDC. Now, my initial reaction to that is, as someone who's been in this movement for 20 years, is that if an organized group of people has a set of concerns about a process, I want to know about it. And if there's something that either I have done that has been, you know, doesn't risen to the expectations of people, or people who work for me, I want to know about it. And here's why, and you know this from your executive experience. You and I get to fix problems when they come up. I actually get to intervene and say, fix this. I get to go to HR and say, this is how it's going to come out. I actually get to go to the mayor in our system, as I'm learning, because we have five sovereigns here, and I get to say, Mayor, I feel so strongly about this, I'd like you to do this. So if there is, well, we'll get to the representation issue in a second, because that's new information to me as well, but if there is a communication problem vis-a-vis communicating with me and my office, A, you know, I have a lot of humility. If I can do it better, I will. But what I would invite the team is, since we meet on a regular basis, union leadership, union members, is bring it to me at a point when I can intervene. Bring it to me at a point, because I heard the word collaboration used a lot. And to me, the most powerful experiences in my life have been when labor and management collaborated for a common purpose that was mutually beneficial. I was in New York City when the hospital workers and the hospitals were fighting like hell all the time. And when Dennis Rivera finally sat down with his counterpart and said, let's end that, let's work together, they got $1 billion for children's health insurance. They worked together. I know the power of collaboration, and you do too. But if there is, as I'm sort of reading between the lines here, a fundamental communication problem, bring it to me and I will fix it. If it's a default at my end, I'll fix it. If there's someone who's a surrogate of mine and there's a problem, I will fix it. Because nothing is more important to me than having the people who are going to come over, who actually I covet. You said that this is a great unit. That's an understatement. I covet the skills and the talent and the passion of these people. I know that when we take this unit and marry it with BHCD, we're going to do great things. That's what gets me going about this. But when I hear there are these fundamental misunderstandings and communication issues, I want you to know that if it's something that can be charged to me, I'll fix it. If it's some other issue, let's talk about it. But that goes to the heart of how we're going to work going forward, and I take that very seriously.
First of all, we pride ourselves on being a problem-solving union, not a problem-creating union, so we look forward to working together on solving problems. Some of you are easier to get on your calendar than others. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, let me follow up on that point, because I'm in a different set of bureaus dealing with very similar issues, and Commissioner Fish and I have not had this discussion at this point, and his concerns have the ring of truth to me, because I've experienced much the same thing, and I would hope you would agree I am not hard to communicate with. I am very easily accessible and have experienced some of what Commissioner Fish has myself. So I guess for me, he said it better than I could, that I as well and would welcome to have those same kinds of conversations dealing with the permit consolidation. But beyond that, I also want to acknowledge this, and in my own forums, I've said this to managers to better understand the angst that we're seeing displayed here. And the best way I can, I think, illustrate that is by way of an example that happened nearly 25 years ago when I was still working at the Fire Bureau and the president of that union. And the then fire chief wanted to change the name, the designation of the main fire station down on Front Nash from Station 21 to Station 1. He didn't want to change shifts or hours or where people worked or which rig they rode on or he wanted to change the name from 21 to 1. And a lot of what I'm hearing here was said then only with more angst because people were very upset that they were going to lose the identity of Station 21, and now all of a sudden it was going to be this other number 1. And they insisted that I invoke a lot of legal procedures to try to stop that, there was a lot of ruckus. After the change, I mean, now people laugh over there when I remind them of that story. It's hard for people to change. And in that instance, that really illustrates that. But when you're actually talking about taking people from a building they work in an office that they're in, with the structure they're in, and moving them to another building, to different bosses with different missions, and certainly a commission form of government, even more beyond that, as opposed to the PDC form of government, I would be shocked if we weren't having this conversation right now.
Mr. Leonard, I think it's not that issue. That's not the issue that people are concerned about. It's about making a system that works better. The person that works right next to me is taking work home over weekends to make sure that a deal closes on time.
Sure. I know that.
Yes, and what I'm saying is people are concerned about making the system better. It's not about, you know, a change in location. The question is the way that we're doing this going to create the most efficient system to improve, as everybody knows?
I think the message that you're hearing from me and Commissioner Fish, and I think my colleagues might agree, is you have no more receptive group of people that are sitting right here right now that want to hear that. But we have, in order to respond to it, first we have to hear it. You have to wait, not just until the council meeting, but come in before. I'm sorry. Do you mind? You have to come in and make an appointment, sit down. It's difficult, I understand, but say, I have a concern with this issue, and we can't do anything about it unless we hear that first. And so I would invite you to take full advantage of that.
Sorry. Commissioner Fritz, did you have something?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think part of the challenge is the timeline that has been set, and that timeline is nobody's fault, but it's responding to the budget, the need to have a budget by June 30th. It's responding to the new computer system, the reporting system, the SAP system, which is going to change how grants and contracts and all that get worked on. And so that's part of the challenge here, is that there's in some ways an artificial timeline to get this done by June 30th, that in an ideal world, there would be more time to make sure that all of the loops have been closed, that all of the conversations have been had. And if there's a way for us to extend that timeline, I, for one, would be very supportive of that, because I do believe that there's a lot of good-hearted people in every corner of this controversy or challenge who are doing good work and who want the same thing. And there needs to be time to make sure that all of these issues are addressed up front so that we do get to the good outcomes.
So I just want to thank you, and I want to thank your members for the additional uncertainty that this for putting up with the additional uncertainty that this proposal subjects you to. I know that the internal PDC reorganization, that this followed on the heels of that, and that followed on the heels of reorganization, which union organization, which was a positive. The reorganization was a positive. I think this will be a positive. But I know that you've been sort of at the crux of sort of a lot of change, and there's wariness and weariness that comes with that, and I want to acknowledge it and thank you for it. This kind of stuff is difficult, and there are always sort of bumps in the road. I think you have a commitment from us, from Commissioner Fish, to redouble our efforts to be good partners with you. But the change is going to happen. And I've been around a really long time. too long to honestly go forward with the status quo. And I know you're talking about making improvements and all this stuff. I've been through a number of improvements in this system and have concluded with great certainty that this kind of a change and realignment needs to happen for the betterment of the cause and for what's best for the citizens. And I think what is best for those that are as committed as you and your brethren clearly are to the endeavor. I really do.